Texas Absolute Rally, powered by the Kielder Works team. Cordless tools tailored for the world of motorsport.
Hello everyone, welcome to Absolute Rally, episode 6, season 13. Possibly one of the most tense episodes that we'll have ever produced. Why? Because the winner, or rather the winners, of the rally car. You're not winning a rally car. Let's just lower your expectations straight away. You're winning a mug with a rally car on, but it's done by Dan at We The Terrors. It's got our logo on. It's got Kielder's logo on. And so people have been getting last minute entries in today. And a little bit later on the podcast, we're going to announce the winners. Even Trevor Agnew's entered. Without saying too much, Trevor Agnew, right, you're wrong. Okay.
What else can you say? You're wrong.
So, folks, yes, we've got Trevor Agnew this week. Hello, Trev.
Hello, Tony. Hello, everybody.
And we've got Ryan Champion, who is travelling without moving, in the true sense of a Jamiroquai song. How are we, Ryan?
Well, I guess not bad. I would have been better had I been where I wanted to get to by the time we had this conversation. But it's like I'm listening to the podcast in my car, except it's live. Not recorded.
There you go. The crazy days when we tried to do it live. Yeah, I don't miss those days at all. I don't miss those days at all. Anyway, listen, we're going to go headlong straight into Germany, boys. The obvious thing that everybody's been talking about is that Tanak is still in it. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not being a Johnny come lately, but I believe that before Germany, let alone before Germany, Ryan Champion.
We obviously talked about Tanak, and you quite rightly tipped Tanak to win the rally. The car's shown great pace recently. I don't think we're surprised that he won the rally. He was obviously one of the contenders we tipped beforehand, and like you said, he was in the battle before, and now he's very much in the championship battle.
Trev, again, I always love talking to you about this stuff, but to me, and I thought it was quite telling, quite an interesting, a few bits and pieces I read from the press conference on the Friday night where Oit was saying, you know, to Seb, you know, the new boys are in town, so to speak. I'm paraphrasing it ever so slightly, but there's mental strength there, isn't there? That's perhaps maybe been similar in a way, but it's definitely there now.
Yeah, but he's under no pressure, so he knows he goes out and wins the rallies. Toyota clearly are very keen for him to win rallies, and you know that's all points from the last two rallies bar one, so 59 points wasn't it out of those two rallies. His form in Argentina, I think, was a signal that he was cut above everybody this year, him in that car. And of course, you talk about Germany. He's their second ever rally in tarmac in the Yaris. And again, that turn of speed that he had was just incredible. So when there's no pressure on, great. You're starting to see now with Ogier being under pressure, serious pressure for the first time, really, because he's never been this far behind at this part of the season. Neuville, of course, has to protect his lead. And the two of them are focused on each other and each rally, and Oit just has to go out and go flat out when he's comfortable. And it's clear, if he can go and drive with that performance in the power stage in both rallies and drive that fast and be under control, he has 0.1 of a second off getting maximum points again, then everything's working. He doesn't have to worry about it. When you start adding the pressure towards the end with four rallies to go, if it is closer, then that's a different thing altogether.
Right. I am going to predict, because obviously I'm quite good at predictions at the moment, I am going to predict Rally Germany will be the event that Thierry Neuville looks back on, and that's where the championship was won.
That's where the championship was won. What for Thierry Neuville, you think?
Yeah, and the reason why I say that is because he had a lot going on. Despite what I've just said about Oit, he had a lot going on, and he managed it. And okay, people fell off in front of him, things like that. But that second place, I think, is going to be the result that will be looked back on, and that will be the difference.
Well, I think you're brave saying you're good at predictions now, because that can only go
well,
back.
I've got one, right?
Yeah.
I got one.
It doesn't bode well for Thierry Neuville.
Quit while you're ahead, really. Like you said, it was a great comeback drive from Thierry Neuville. He kept his head. He got the car to the end in a good position after you know having problems and dropping back. So that's what you've got to do to win a championship. But I think the great thing is it's now a genuine three-way fight, isn't it?
I think it is, but. And again, I think Jack brought this up a couple of weeks ago. It may even be you as well, right? But I'll come to Trev because Trev's not been with us for a couple of weeks. Is this the big crucial point now? Is, of course, you start looking around teammates, don't you, Trev? And the teammates, you know, Yari Matti couldn't buy luck if he was a billionaire at the moment, I feel like, for him. You know, Danny Sordo, very unfortunate, obviously, you know, for Hyundai there. Obviously, with both manufacturer points and also to kind of take points away from other people, for Thierry, because I'm pretty certain Danny probably would have done the honours, wouldn't he, for Thierry? On that particular event, Trev?
Yeah, I think it's the second time, though, isn't it? In Monte Carlo, we went off in the last day when he was in a position like that. Yeah, you need your teammates to get between the two of them. At one stage, it was looking quite dodgy for Ogier, wasn't it? Because he was fairly well down the field, and of course, Thierry gets a better momentum. He gets more points the further up you are. So he left with a couple more extra points. And you're right, exactly. Teammates play a big difference. And it doesn't seem to be working as well for Hyundai this year.
If I can just play this game just a little bit, with you first, right, and then with you, Trev. Right, that's almost zero all the scores of the top three drivers we've just been talking about. Of course, you know, with Tanak and Sebastien Ogier and Thierry Neuville. If you were going into battle in these last few events and you were on equal scores, where would you plant your flag? What car would you want to be in? What teammates would you want, right?
That's a good question. It's a good question without an easy answer, I would say. I think we've said it. The Toyota is clearly a fantastic car at the minute, but we've got to put a large part of that down to Oik Tanak, because it is Oik Tanak that's doing the business, isn't it? I mean, he's got more experience than than Lappi. He has the look that maybe Latvala doesn't have, but nonetheless, I think it's him as much as the car at the minute. The two are gelling very well. Thierry Neuville has had. He's put together the season that he didn't have last year, but Ogier's not out of it. And he, like Trevor just said, you know, we're not used to seeing him win championships under such extreme pressure. But at the same time, he is the one that's been and done it time after time. So, if I was going to nail my flag to the mast, I am going to go with Thierry Neuville this year.
So Hyundai, Trevor Agnew, yeah. Level points, pose the same question to you. Level points, where would you point your flag? What camp?
Ogier all day long. Tanak, of course, is the form at the minute in the Yaris, no doubt about it. Maybe we don't know about Turkey because it's going to be a bit hotter there, not at altitude like Mexico, but the Toyota has had a few problems in those situations. Whoever's first on the road in Rally GB will probably win it as well, just come back in form. So road position will play a bit of a difference, but if they're going 0 points, then this hypothetical question, Ogier, because he's been there psychologically, he knows he can win championships, he knows how to go about it, it doesn't affect him in the same way. We don't know about the other two, so they've got that to learn yet.
What I find really, really interesting, obviously, I think we've got Hayden Padden's due to come back on the gravel events now, haven't we? Replacing Danny Sordo. I haven't quite got the programmes up in front of me. I'll pull those up in the middle. But someone like Hayden now, because, you know, Andreas is just having a nightmare of a season, isn't he, Trev?
Yeah, it's unprecedented, you know. But again, we're seeing this with Hyundai, and I don't know if it's something to do with the paired events or as regards the setup that they have and differentials, you know, where you have to use the same components on at least two rallies in certain cases, sometimes up to three. They're the ones that you seem to hear talking about a little bit more. That's why they put the differential back in Neuville's car, I think, to change. It certainly didn't work. So, yeah, Hayden definitely, if he's on form, can help, and he's proven that. Andreas, he's just lost at sea. I don't know what's going on there. I'd love to find out what's going on, because he's got the talent and he's shown it on occasions, but absolutely nowhere near as consistent as it should be.
Right. Do you see, it seems odd, and that's no disrespect to Hayden, of course, Seb, who's friend of the show, who comes on, of course, sits with Hayden, that, you know, Andreas having one of those seasons, obviously Danny will step aside now for Hayden to come back. Hayden could have a really big say in this championship.
Yeah, he definitely could. And as you just alluded to, teammates could certainly get involved. But I think the fact that we've got a three-way fight with the three fastest drivers means they're likely to be at the front of the three rallies. Those three at the front of the rally. So, yes, teammates could definitely have an impact. But I still think that one of those three will probably take it into their hands, and we'll see. You know, I think what we will see certainly this year is a very worthy champion, because, as we said, it's close enough now that one of the three of them has got to grab hold of it and win the championship. And I think, yeah, teammates might be able to help, but I think one of the three of them has to run with it and win it for themselves.
Trev's just mentioned it there, right? Obviously, going back to gravel, there's a new event now coming next, of course, Rally Turkey. Nobody's kind of got notes to go back to or refer back to or whatever, so everyone's on a clean sheet of paper. Out of the three drivers, and I'm not going to sit on the fence, I'm going to say probably Sebastian Ogier, purely down to experience, but somebody going to go out and write a fresh set of notes for an event, out of the three of them, I'd probably be going Ogier.
Yeah, I mean, and logic suggests you probably would. You know, how would you go against somebody with such experience, so many world titles behind him? But I think that's quite exciting to see, because it's a long time since we've seen that, particularly in the heat of a battle as it is. So, what none of them can afford is a non-finish through a personal mistake. So, like Trev said, Oi Tanak's not had so much pressure on him now. Now all three of them have got to be thinking about the world championship, and all three of them can't afford to make a mistake. You know, they can't afford a personal error. So the pressure is definitely going to be on the recce to make sure they do a perfect job for the rally.
Yeah, just done a little bit of digging there. Hayden is back now for Turkey, GB and Australia, so he's got that nice run in, Trev. That concept of going out and doing an event for the first time, Trev, you know, it's not often spoke about, obviously, speaking to you as a co-driver and everything else, but in a previous life, obviously, not these days, but going out and writing a fresh set of notes for an event and going out and being committed and driving them is such a huge thing, isn't it? Because, you know, we had Chris Atkinson on last week, for instance, talking about, you know, coming back into, when he's come back into WRC in years gone by, and it's just, you know, you're going in doing events where drivers have done it year on year, and okay, some stages change, but, you know, the bulk of the event's still the same, and they're literally tweaking notes as opposed to writing notes from scratch. So this is quite a big deal about to happen with Rally Turkey next time around.
Personally, I don't believe it is. Okay. I think the level of experience that those three guys that you mentioned have, it won't be an issue for them. They'll go out and write notes, and they'll check on the second pass, and that'll be it. Psychologically, of course, if they want to do things, and you hear this a lot with drivers, I haven't been to this rally, it's my third time there, etc. But you got to take into consideration the amount of videos that they watch now as well. Now, personally, that's my thinking. I don't think it'll be an issue. I think all three will go write good notes, and it's rare you hear those guys talk about mistakes they made in wreckage now. And let's remember, there has been a fair chunk of the championship this year has been new, or at least hasn't been visited in the last few years.
The other thing that could, of course, come into play, Rye, aside from that, we've got probably both sides of the opinion there, is the road sweeping effect, which, of course, hasn't really suited Thierry so far this year. Obviously, we know Seb's done it for many years, and he's not been a big fan of it, because when Thierry's had it this year, he hasn't always had the greatest of events off the back of it, has he?
No, he hasn't. Now, obviously, it's a new event, so we're going to have to see how that one plays out. I seem to remember a really horrible, muddy Rally of Turkey a few years back as well. So, we'll just have to see how that one works. Don't forget that Trevor Agnew hasn't ruled out a co-driving comeback. He did say on Twitter last week to Neil Wade that he would do a rally if he got the car. So don't rule it out.
Oh, hang on. There's breaking news here. Breaking news. I know you said it felt like it was live before. Technically, obviously, it's not. But what was the comeback? What was that threatened to be? Sorry, we missed this.
I'm just saying. Trev's not ruled out a co-driving comeback. So, you know, let's wait and see.
Is there any stipulations to that, Trev?
Yeah, the stipulation was if Neil Wearden went and found a car, I would definitely consider it. But the chances of Neil Wearden going and find a car is competitive.
It's funny you should say that. It's funny you should say that because I know Neil Wearden is looking for a car at the moment. Yeah, and I know he's looking for an R2 car.
Yeah, Twitter chat, that's what it was. That's
and
you
I also know that he's actually put a wanted advert out for an R2 car.
And a co-driver.
So, you know, just saying, mm-hmm. Dust down those overalls, Trev. Will you still get
it? He might need a new pair. Need a new pair.
Will you still get in a 52?
It would be a bit big on me, definitely.
Anyway, Ryan Champion, can we have a travel report, please, before we go any further? Because that's what everybody wants to know. Are you moving now?
It's very much stop-start. I have moved probably about half a mile since we started the conversation. But it's fair to say this bit of the M1 is speed restricted to 50 miles an hour, but that would feel like I was on the Millennium Falcon compared to the speed I'm doing now.
The Millennium Falcon. That was on at the weekend. I actually watched it for the first time since I was a kid. I get sidetracked. This is getting more and more Partridge. You've got to be careful. Speaking of Partridge, by the way, somebody did stumble across a video of Alan Partridge in a rally car. Did you see it, boys? We did put it back out.
I did see that.
I don't even remember seeing that. I know, me neither. It was brilliant.
And who was the mysterious female driver?
She was an actress who did a lot of other Partridge stuff, but I don't know who, you know, because I don't think they were going particularly quickly. I can't believe we got from Rally Germany to Alan Partridge doing a rally this close.
And so 90% of our audience won't know who you're talking about.
I know. But I told them to Google it, and that's why I retweeted it. Anyway, boys, let's crack on and get back to Rally Germany. I enjoyed watching the coverage as ever, and we tried to tune in as much to WRC Live where we could and everything else. I find the tale, and you know, we're going to hop around a little bit here, but I don't know whether you guys were paying attention too much to WRC2 at all. Trev, did you see much of WRC2?
Yeah, kept a bit of an eye on it. Yeah, definitely.
I just think, you know, again, and we've said this before, and I got shot down in flames, I seem to remember, by Ryan Champion, but I still find the ability that Jan Kopecky has got phenomenal. And I know it's always been a Super 2 cars and R5 cars, but the fact of the way he came back, and okay, again, we're back into the realms of circumstances as well. I just can't help but feel, did we miss a trick with him maybe 4 or 5, maybe 6, 7 years ago, maybe? That's all I'm saying. What do you think?
On gravel, he certainly isn't as strong on tarmac. Tarmac, you can't argue, is 4 out of 4 wins. So 100% record, win record this year. Has always been quick on tarmac, definitely, but has he got the ability to go that little bit higher? And certainly his gravel performance is the one thing that he wasn't as hot on.
Did he get a run, Ryan, the Fabia World Cup? Did I imagine that? Was he just coming to the fore with the Fabia when the Fabia was produced?
I think he did at the end, didn't he? Did he drive a factory blessed car, I think I call it that.
Was that the one about Raymond Baunschweiger, I think when he took over the programme, didn't he? I think towards the end. I seem to remember a Red Bull liveried one.
That was easy for you to say.
Yeah. A factory blessed car.
I like that. I thought that was an unbelievable. Do you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that, Trev, because I was going to park that and come back to it. A factory blessed car. Is that, you've had a factory blessed car in the past, haven't you, Roy?
Yeah, yes.
A spiritual intervention or what is it?
Yeah, which car are we gonna say was a factory blessed car, right? Just so we're clear.
Well, it clearly wasn't the Puma because there was nothing blessed about that.
Does factory blessed, does that put an extra 5 grand in the price of it? Or
absolutely,
what?
It does. Absolutely, it does. Anyway,
and to be honest, it was Jack Bennion that shot you down in flames. It wasn't me. I said Capecchi is a proper professional rally driver. He turns up and does the job asked of him. I think he's a great driver, very underrated. And it was Jack Bennion that got all up to you about.
Was he right?
He'd probably tell you the right word to pronounce as well, which is Capecchi. So I'll just pretend he's here and tell that as well.
This is Absolute Rally, powered by the Kielder Works team. Cordless tools tailored for the world of motorsport. Developed from hands-on knowledge that you only get in the service park, not the boardroom. The range of Kielder cordless impact wrenches are designed to be compact, lightweight, feel good, and crucially, get the job done. Kits are available for less than £160. Plus, exclusively for Absolute Rally listeners, use discount code RALLY for 10% off at www.kielder.co. Simply search Kielder Tools online.
I tell you what, right, we're going to talk about it in a bit because it's Barham this weekend as well. Mm-hmm. And of course, I think, do you know, in football, and I'm sorry to use a football term in this podcast, but if a club wins a certain trophy so many times or whatever, I seem to remember it way back when, they get to keep the trophy. I'm starting to think that perhaps the winner's trophy for Barham should just live at Jan Capecchi's house. Just putting it out there. Because how many times has he won it now? Is it multiple? I don't think he's unbeaten there, isn't he?
Well, I don't know. He certainly won it a few times.
I was just going to say, I'm sure he's unbeaten there. I think every time he's done it, he's won it. I'm pretty certain. I'll come back to that. Anyway, WRC2 boy.
He's won it seven times.
Seven times. There you go. Yeah. Surely, where's the rule where you get to keep the trophy?
Yeah, I don't think it works that way.
You'd have to ask if Freddie Lights has got the EPA Rally Trophy, though, first.
He'd have to have it, wouldn't he? He'd have to have it. Speaking of Skoda, Cali Rovanpera caused a little bit of debate the other week. seems to be very much directed at Jack Bennion, as opposed to you and me, Ryan Champion. I thought we got away with that one quite lightly. Again, it seemed a very, very sensible drive from the youngster.
Yes, great drive. I mean, he nearly won WRC2 on tarmac. So he does seem to be putting a sensible head on now and getting results, getting to the end of rallies, which is good, and that's what he needs to do. I think we have seen the speed there. So yeah, good for him, and he's definitely got tarmac pace as well. So still a long way for him to go, and he still needs to build the experience up. But he's doing all he can do, and he's got a long time ahead of him to build that experience up.
Trev, we got into a little bit of trouble, albeit, well, we didn't actually. It was Jack Bennion, just Ryan and I just sat alongside eating popcorn, just laughing at him. But we're probably putting our hands up here for us to get shot down in flames. But we've got to see, I think, for the youngster, another year or two at least, surely, in WRC2 while he learns his trade. Or do you think he's going to be one of these ones that are fast tracked straight in? That are we going to see him in a world car next year?
Fast track to it, and I guarantee if he spoke to Jack Bennion now, he'd still defend what he said, that he didn't show the promise. I think really what Jack was trying to say, but everybody jumped on the bandwagon. You know, you've seen the videos of me at years of age driving the Starlet. You've seen the videos up through the years, the Red Bull one in particular. He is definitely a world champion, no doubt about it. I'd thought at one point of putting a bet on to say I'd be world champion by the age of 21. But never got round to it, and I reckon the odds wouldn't be anywhere near as good now. So I think he's got the potential definitely to be the youngest ever world champion.
Not that we can condone betting, but if you are a betting company, you do listen to this podcast, we will take your money. Not a problem, because betting companies have took enough of mine when I've gone the races. So I'm quite comfortable taking your money if you want to get involved with a rally podcast. Anyway, Ryan Champion, would you be brave enough to put? I know you're a Yorkshireman, aren't you? Never in a month of Sundays you're going to put any money on anything. Would you put any of your livestock on Cali Rovanpera being a WRC champion by 21?
Been a world champion by 21.
Yeah, I'd
have a bet at it. I don't think it'll happen, but I would have a bet at it.
Would you put both donkeys on or just one?
No, I'd only put half on.
boys, if we can get back to the
What about a donkey and an alpaca?
You haven't got alpacas, have you, right?
Of course he has.
No, we borrowed some for a while. They've gone again.
How do you borrow an alpaca? What happens in your life where you ring someone up and go, hello, is that old Ryan Champion? Hello, Ryan, how are you? I'm fine. Don't you got any alpacas you can lend me?
It's big business. Alpaca walking is big business in Ireland. There's loads of farms of them.
Okay.
It wasn't quite like that. The farmer needed somewhere to keep them for a while. So
you were minding them?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I'll go with that.
One was tied up to the maestro at one point, wasn't it?
It can't be. Oh, do you know what? I know Jack Benyon's done this on purpose. You know this maestro we made reference to a couple of weeks ago doing the Scottish Tarmac Championship. There's a great picture of it in MN this week, boys. If you get MN, it looks a monster. It's got a Honda Civic engine in it and everything. Fair play. Anyway, we're getting really parochial, really sidetracked, and we're also talking about wildlife. So if we can get back to Rally Germany, if we can get back to the headliners, as I like to call them, the boys at the top, and bit of a mare for Citroën across the board. On one hand, I'd say Mads probably from the highs of Finland. It is probably the low of Germany. And Craig just seems to just have one of those weekends, really. You know, he clipped that same thing as what Elvin clipped as well. And it just didn't seem to be, it just wasn't a great weekend for Citroën, really, Trev.
No, Willie, the rain shower on Friday, didn't he? He got caught in the wet. I think a lot of the rest of them had missed it because of road position. And again, first time on this setup on tarmac, so I don't think the balance is quite right. But he was setting times, wasn't he, during the rally?
The times were there, but, you know, it's that cliche thing, isn't it? It's linking them all together and just getting a result. And it just seems to be eluding him at the moment. The times are there. I think he put a scratch time in fastest and, you know, on one of the stages. And he's been there or thereabouts, but it's just, you just feel like you just really want him. And especially, which we're going to talk about silly season in a few minutes time, because there's things starting to happen supposedly, or might be starting to happen in the driver's market. When drivers are now, people are starting to look at drivers, I really just want to see Craig just get some results now.
Yeah. I mean, you want to see Craig get the consistent results. That's the thing. I mean, we're seeing great speed from him, but yeah, he needs to put consistent results in. But I really hope that he's done enough. He's shown very well at Citroën. He's been part of the team now for a while. Germany was another of those weekends that we sort of come to expect from Citroën now, haven't we? Just blowing hot and cold. I think Craig at least was setting good times. He did look competitive, whereas Mats, he was the first to admit that he was struggling, couldn't really find the setup, couldn't find the confidence. We know he's more at home on gravel than he is on tarmac. But yeah, I'd like to think Craig Green's going to be there and certainly get another season at Citroën.
I really hope so. We got into a little bit of trouble. Again, Trev, you've dodged the bullets this season. This is the season of where we've been picked on a little bit for some of the things we've said.
Took them a long time, got away with it for a long time.
I think we got away with it for 3.5 years, to be fair, which I'm proud of that.
Nobody else was listening, that was why.
Yeah, there's plenty of people who probably say that. Don't say, we've got sponsors now, right? You can't say that. You get me into trouble.
All right, there's people listening now.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, mate. But Trev, I'm going to come to you with regards to, you know, we talked about Andreas before, and I can't help but feel that poor old Elvin's in a very similar thing. We were accused of being very biased, and as Rye pointed out, why shouldn't we be biased? But you almost feel like Elvin's in a very similar kind of place to Andreas.
Yeah, we were so looking forward to this year to see him back in the factory car, quick on every surface. Again, a bit like Craig, I suppose, showing parts where everything's hooked up and it's working, but he just seems to not have the same confidence in the car that a lot of the others are, and certainly Oja is a very formidable teammate when it comes to things like that, so you can't hide. And it just hasn't worked. A bit like, I suppose, him and Tannock were in the team together, where Tannock would probably push on when the car wasn't right and maybe go off or have issues, whereas Elvin would sit back, not wanting to push when the car wasn't 100% right. And we're seeing that this year. And it's a bit of a worry, I have to say. I want to see him back in there next year. So the end of the very last four rallies, he's got to do something a bit special, I think. But in saying that, you know, you have to remember the amount of investment that Malcolm's put in Elvin. He's pulling out the stops, I hope, to try and help him turn it round a bit. He's not going to throw that investment away, I wouldn't have thought.
I hope so. I really do. Yes, I'm being biased. I like what Ryan Champion said. Why shouldn't we? But, right, whether it's, you know, whether it's a help or a hindrance, obviously it's a help to M Sport, though, the fact that I think Timu now is pretty much confirmed to complete the season if needs be. Possibly might not go to Australia, according to reports, if it's not required. But if it is required, M Sport will send Timu to Australia as well. And he's just kind of just plugging away and just picking up those points. And again, really impressive performance in a world car on tarmac, and I know we went relatively well there last season, but first time this year in a 17 spec car.
Yeah, solid job, and as we've seen from him in the past, very, very hard on himself. You know, he's his own harshest critic, so he's very, very keen to improve all the way through. You know, we expect to see him in there next year, and obviously unfortunately from Elvin's point of view, we know that Timu will come probably with some support. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but that he'll have the backing to stay in the team, whatever it takes. And obviously that's the difference with Elvin. He's doing it purely on merit, and which is great. But as we all know in world motorsport now, money does talk, and that's a difficult thing for British drivers, particularly, as we've talked about in the past.
Absolutely. Just looking now at the manufacturers is equally tantalising as what the drivers is now, Trev. We've got Hyundai on 254, we've got Toyota on 241, and M Sport, you know, down at 202, you know, having gone from the highs to the highs, you know, they're now completely and utterly up against it. And of course, that's what they really need, you know, especially with Ford kind of coming back to some degree this season. And that's what Sebastian Ogier wanted. You know, it's they need that, don't they? They need to a great showing in the manufacturers to show Ford that, yeah, we do need you, and we do need you to get back even more involved again.
Yeah, the difference this year and last year is that Tanak a lot of the time was quicker than Ogier, and was consistent towards the end of the year and getting the finishes to help the manufacturers. And we're not seeing that, as you said, with Timu going to the rest of the rallies this year. That will help with that, definitely. And he's committed to next year, hasn't he? He's doing the full championship next year, I read right.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so again, that's only going to go one way. Whatever Timo Jokke has seen in Timo Sunen, and certainly in the psychological side of things, that's all going to come good. And as Ryan said, maybe the personality side of things he needs to work on a little bit more and just express himself a little bit better. But that's all part of the development. You can easily do that if you've got the speed. But the team's definitely right. It's looking quite exciting now. We've talked about Hyundai. We know what the situation is with Toyota, where you've got Jari Matti, who, again, going back to this whole luck thing, he seems to be the only one in the Volkswagen and the Toyota that breaks the car more often than others. And I don't know why it's the driving style thing, or more cuts or less cuts or whatever, but it can't be coincidence.
To defend them just a little, I think this was an electrical fault, wasn't it? So,
yeah, this one was, yeah. But again, why is it always Jari Matti?
Why is it always me? Isn't that something on a t-shirt or something? But Ryan Champion, Lappy, who we're going to talk about in a second. Again, I've got a little bit of crush now on Lappy, to be honest with you. I've been really impressed, and I think he's coming across, you know, what Trev's just said there about Timu working on perhaps, you know, front of the camera stuff. I think that's definitely happened with Esko-Pekka Lappi and a solid third, and, you know, probably doing the job. Ironically, him and Timu Sunen are quite apparently good friends from way back when, doing a similar job to what Timu's doing for Seb Ogier, is of course what Lappi's now doing for Roy Tanak.
Yeah, it was something actually Trevor and I were talking about it last weekend. I mean, both both Lappi and Sunnan are both very hard on themselves, and they do it publicly, they do it in front of the camera. It's just that Esa-Pekka just seems to do it with a little bit more flair. He does it with a little bit of a spark in his eye, and it comes across as a little bit more, I wouldn't necessarily say light-hearted, but certainly not quite as heavy as when Timo Sunnan does it. But we've talked a lot about Esa-Pekka Lappi. We expect him to carry on doing a great job, and I think we know he's going to be in that team for the foreseeable future. And you know, I think you talk about the likes of Robin Pair have been a future world champion. He's got to get past by then a very experienced Esa-Pekka Lappi.
Well, Ryan Champion, there's been a little bit of Twitter talk today about Esa-Pekka Lappi and Citroën.
I think that would be doubtful.
Even management are a very good management company. They wouldn't be doing their job unless they were talking to everybody about everybody wanting. It's a great way to negotiate as well, Tony, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. But you just wonder what kind of carrot would be in Dan. I even read something a very interesting one. Danny Sordo back to Citroën as well.
Possible. I guess it's possible. He's had a good year. He knows the team. He's certainly been wanting a full-time drive. It's definitely going to have a shake-up, isn't it? The Citroën thing, I don't know if any of us can second-guess Citroën, because nobody knows what's going to go on with the team. Nobody knows what's going on with the car on a rally basis. Nobody knows what's going on with the team from a yearly basis. So I don't know. I don't think you could second-guess that at the minute.
Well, there's a few bits and pieces that have been going round on Twitter and everything else. I do love Trev, I do love a rumour. I don't know what it is. I do love a rumour. It gets exciting. It's a bit like transfer deadline day. Sorry to use another football term, but I do like transfer deadline day. Even though I'm not interested in the bloke that's moving from Leighton Orient down to Enfield on loan for a month, but I still watch it. I still watch it because I don't know what it is. The rumour, and possibly, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? But anyway, it's the one thing that supposedly is going to happen, boys, is that Japan is going to be joining the calendar from 2019. Ryan Champion, this is following on, of course, from the debate, or rather the chat we had with regards to what Mr. Toyota said with regards to, you know, Japanese motorsport. You know, would be great if Mitsubishi and Subaru came back. But of course, now, off the back of what Toyota have done, you know, 124 million population or whatever it is, you know, huge population there. And it looks like provisionally there could be a 4-year deal for WRC to go back to Japan.
Yeah, no, I mean, no big surprise at all is that WRC is going to go back to Japan. Now we've got Toyota investing so heavily in the sport. And, you know, and I think the interesting thing about Toyota's entry is that it is personally backed by, you know, by the company president, by Toyota-san. And he's passionate about the sport. You know, what's nice to hear from him is it's not just about results. It's not just about winning. Obviously, that's a big part of it. But he wants the Toyota brand involved in rallying for the long term. He wants to see the motorsport-inspired cars back into the showroom. And he wants to see people having fun around Toyota again. And I think, in some ways, it's a breath of fresh air and the complete opposite to what we... Which, if we're not winning, we're bored and we don't want to be there. You know, Toyota are clearly investing an awful lot of money in it for the longer term, and you know, an event back in Japan is part of that to take it to the Japanese fans.
Trev, have you been over to Japan for WRC?
Not for WRC, but I lived in Tokyo for 6 months, so I've got a good experience of Japan. The interesting thing about this rally is it's a completely different base. So going to take it from Hokkaido, which is the most northerly island, down to Kanshu, and base the rally probably within an hour and a half, 2 hours of Tokyo, sort of in the Mount Fuji region, So it's going to, as you say, last time it was 123 million, I think, something like that. In Tokyo, there's something like 15 million people. And it's definitely going to generate a lot of excitement. The rally community love going there. You know, Japanese people are so excitable, and there's proper fans. So that will definitely do the World Rally Championship the world of good.
Who do we lose, right? Who's going to go off the calendar? Because again, you know, putting my other head on as much as I do this, it's another long haul event. They don't want long haul events. So what's going to happen?
Well, I mean, you say we don't want more long haul events, but if we want to be a world championship, I guess ultimately we've got to keep visiting further parts of the world and go further than what we currently are. I mean, I think, you know, we keep hearing that Corsica's going to disappear. Sardinia's been shaky for a while. Even you know, Rally GB's been under pressure. So I think all of the European rounds have to, you know, have to put on good events and keep, you know, keep promoting the sport, keep a big profile to keep in the championship. But I certainly see the likes, the island-based rallies, the likes of Corsica and Sardinia have been under pressure.
Trev, who would you see? Are you with Rye? I've got a feeling it's going to be Corsica.
Yeah. It's probably the one that it's battered the most, I suppose, all sides of things. But no doubt, you need a rally in Asia, and the Japanese market's big from car manufacturer. The usual commercial reasons why you would go there. Interest in the commercial deal has been announced already. It just needs to be ratified. So, it's a must that you've got a rally in Asia, and if you run the world championship. So it's just commercially who stays and who goes.
Do you think realistically, and again, you know, I know we talked about it the other week, Ryan, I'll ask you as well, Trev, in a second, but right, do you think the event going there and maybe having a 4-year deal, do you think it could whet the appetites of other manufacturers that are based there?
I think you know, it can't do any harm, but I think, you know, we're unlikely to see any other Japanese manufacturers coming in the short term. You know, the Toyota's obviously a very, very successful company worldwide. One of their key rivals in the marketplace now is Hyundai, who are obviously investing heavily in WRC. So, you know, I think it's important for them to be in there competing against an up-and-coming brand that's really biting at the heels of Toyota's direct market. So, you know, there is valid reasons why Toyota would want to be in there fighting against Hyundai, and I just don't really see another Japanese world player that's in a similar position. So, you know, obviously with the rally going there, it'll create more interest again in Japan, but I unfortunately can't see that we're going to see another Japanese manufacturer short term.
This is Absolute Rally, powered by the Kielder Works team. Cordless tools tailored for the world of motorsport. Developed from hands-on knowledge that you only get in the service park, not the boardroom. Kielder create products for their own use and like-minded people. Those inspired by mechanical motion and engineering. Plus, exclusively for Absolute Rally listeners, use discount code RALLY for 10% off at www.kielder.co. Simply search Kielder Tools online.
Trev, for something that we talked about the other week, we know you listen. That's why we always mention you. You no doubt heard the debate and obviously following on from the story that Mr. Toyota had said about having, you know, Mitsubishi and Subaru come back. Do you really think that taking an event back to that country, parking it on the doorstep, do you think it could make them sit up and perhaps take notice?
It'll do no harm, but I still think Toyota is a little bit of an anomaly in that. I did a job for Toyota way back, must have been 2012, and I had the privilege to meet Akio Toyota and have a one-to-one chat with him for about 10 minutes back there when I asked him at that point if they'd consider coming back to the World Championship. And at that point, he said no, because we don't have a car. They were looking at the change in regulations to see maybe if it fitted with fuel cell technology or their hybrid technology. It's only when he got, you know, when at that stage he told me about being out with Tommy McKinnon, and Tommy had invited him to Finland. All that was going on. And the back of that, he suddenly saw the love of rallying for Toyota when he went and visited Finland on that particular rally all those years ago. And the back of that, it was just a decision. There's more an emotional decision, a business decision, I think. And that's why Toyota are rallying and committed to it. And of course, want to take rallying to Japan in the hope that other manufacturers will get involved. But it goes back to what we always talk about in these situations, the board members and the people who make the decisions as regards how they're going to market their brand is different. They don't have that emotional appeal. Like Akio Toyoda has his own rally car. He had it there. He was actually giving drifting lessons to five delegates a day in his own rally car at an airport in Berlin. Absolutely fantastic to see. So, yeah, he's a complete enthusiast, absolutely loves rallying. And that's, I think, how the whole thing snowballed. And that Tommy made him a four-wheel drive car to teach him how to drive a four-wheel drive car. On the back of that, they took it to Onan Poya for a bit of a demo run. On the back of that, he saw the love for Toyota, and hence Toyota are in the World Championship and committed. And, you know, the amount of budget has been applied to it's fantastic.
It's exciting. I'll tell you one thing, just before we move away from Toyota, and there's a couple of other bits and pieces we want us to do before we call time on this week. Obviously, we've got to announce the winners, or announce the winning car, and we've got to do Gary Boyd's facts. But did I dream, or did I imagine that Toyota were going to do an R5 car? Is that...
I don't think there was, they said they didn't rule it out, I don't think. I think there was talk that they might do it in the future, but I think obviously they were concentrating on the WRC program first and foremost, but you would think it's the logical thing to do, to start even making potentially a bit of money back out of the sport for what they've invested heavily in, so you'd think it was logical.
I hope so. I just think, again, I'm not going to go down this R5 thing again, but I just think the R5 battle with all the different marks is going to be mega. And I seen something the other day. I think the Polos are available for rent in the next 2 months. By all accounts, there's going to be a team renting them out in the next 2 months, which is going to be mega. I can't wait to see a Polo R5 car. I really can't.
Only it's going to be a series for Marks and like Mark Higgins, who else?
Yeah, Mark Duez.
Quite limited.
Yeah, but, at the moment, there's not a lot of budgets out there, is there, Trev?
Good point.
You bar steward. also, closer to our shows last weekend, it wasn't only Rally Germany, boys. Of course, it was the last round, not the last round, but there's a couple of events. There's still Isle of Man and still, of course, Rally GB to go. But it was Ulster. It was a round of the Irish Tarmac Series, of course. And it was a round of the MSA Prestone British Rally Championship as well, which a friend of the show who's been on before, Matt Edwards, Ryan Champion, secured a hat-trick of wins in BRC. And you can't really look any further past Matt now than securing that title.
No, not at all. It was a great performance by him. Made no mistakes, which... that's the key thing. It was different conditions. A wet Ulster rally is very, very tricky, and it's easy to make mistakes regardless of what pressure you've got. And I'm sure he was very pleased to get to the end of it. He did get to the end of it. He won it, and he's really strengthened his grasp. And pretty much you'd have to say got one hand on the British Championship title now, particularly with his main rival.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think we are starting to lose Ryan Champion now, because clearly you have got traffic. You've got flow, haven't you, Ryan Champion?
No, I've turned off the M1 finally, and the big issue was that there was traffic coming towards me on my side of the M1 as they were taking everything off at the same junction. Some of it coming towards me on my side and some going off. So it was all a bit chaotic, but I've left the M1 and I'm now on a back road somewhere in Derbyshire.
Stay safe, stay safe. Trevor Agnew, of course, like us all, we've all been touched by the British Rally Championship. Not inappropriate, obviously, but we've all been touched by the British Rally Championship. Probably you more than us. Matt's done a great job. I suppose the big disappointment, probably even for Matt himself, if we ask him, and we will get Matt on over the next couple of weeks, is that we've seen Keith Cronin pull his entry just before the event, and it's a sad indictment, really, on the British Rally Championship, in a sense that, there's a story broke today, his sponsors don't really see the value in Keith trying to secure a fifth title. Now they want to, divert that budget into WRC too.
Yeah, again, because of the dominance that Matt has had this year as well, so that's three out of three that he's won. So is it good money after bad, and I hope that he'll do it, but again, if it's round by round as opposed to being British champion, then I can see why people would take that view. But it's things that we've covered this several times on the programmes. We've gone through it. It's it's going to be an interesting time going forward to the British Rally Championships. You've got the Manx, which is an expensive rally to go to. Of course, Rally GB at the end of the year. That was their decision to start of the year. I'll be interested to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I do know there's a couple of boys in R5s that is it for the season now. Though David Bogie has got a new car waiting in the wings that apparently will be out on the Manx. So it'll be interesting to see how that one goes. But congratulations to Matt and congratulations to the winners there, Steve Rockland. Very, very quick man on a 208. He's done BRC off and on for a number of years and cracking effort. Ryan Champion has now left us. He's now departed, so it is just me and Trevor Agnew now for the rest of the programme. Trevor Agnew, you love Gary Boyd's facts as much as the next man, don't you?
Yeah, of course. Who wouldn't?
I know, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? I kept these ones as well, kind of towards the end of the programme purposely, and unfortunately, Ryan's going to miss it, or rather, he's going to have to listen to the programme. Anyway, are you ready for this one? After 9 rounds of 2018 WRC, there have been 27 podium spots. Hyundai and Toyota have 9 podiums each, leaving M Sport and Citroën to share the remaining 9 podium spots. Hyundai have 3 firsts, 3 seconds, and 3 thirds.
That's a lot of stats, isn't it?
That's an incredible amount of stats. That is an incredible amount of stats. And I love it when I get a little message that pings up from Gary, because I know it's stuff that I would never, ever, one, be able to work out, and two, have the time to do it, to be perfectly honest with you. So we always appreciate when Gary sends us in bits and pieces like that. One other thing, by the way, we didn't get Ryan Champion's AOB, so we'll have to save that for... Actually, he's not with us next week. He's the man of mystery. He's back on travel. Should we make some up for him?
Make it up, yeah, definitely.
Okay, we'll do that. Right. Should we announce the winner, or should we announce what the rally car is, Trevor Agnew? You and me can do this. Right. Can you tell our listeners what you emailed in as your answer? I love the fact that you emailed in, by the way. What did you email in as your answer?
Subaru Legacy.
Okay. Incorrect.
I know. You told me, right?
Yeah. Incorrect. if you would have answered an Escort Cosworth Group A.
Oh, right.
Would have been incorrect as well. Would have been incorrect as well, Trev.
Yeah, knew that.
Yeah. And if you would have said Subaru Impreza 555, because everybody assumed it would be that because of Ryan Champion, incorrect. Incorrect.
That would be a Group A Impreza, as opposed to a 555 one, because it could be any.
Yeah, absolutely. So a Group A Impreza, no, it wasn't. It wasn't a World Rally car of any form, in the sense of it wasn't of that particular era. It was from the era before. It was a Group A car.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't a Toyota Celica, so it wasn't a Sierra Cosworth, it wasn't a Mitsubishi Galant or a Mitsubishi Charisma or an Evo or anything like that. It was a Lancia Delta Integrale.
Oh, you're a bit quick there. There's a lot of people just getting excited and building it up. Oh, it could be me, and then bang, there's it.
There it is. Mic drop moment. A Lancia Delta Integrale. And I have to say, credit to the guys at Kielder, because Steve, who's the top man at Kielder, he desperately wanted that. He and I sat and watched YouTube videos of Lancia Delta Integrales in service. That's where I then had to send the video to my sound man for him to chop out that particular bit of audio. So if you sent at Lancia Delta Integrale, you are correct. And we will be generating, Dan at We The Terrors got married this week. So we chose not to bother him. Congratulations, by the way, Dan. Hope you had a wonderful day. But the mugs are done, and they will be getting sent out to the guys at Kielder, and Kielder will be sending them out. So over the next few days, I will be sending the correct answer. I'll be sending you an email. You send us back your address, and over the next week or two, we'll get those mugs out to you. So thank you all that emailed in. It has made such a difference, and we are going to do another one. For whether we do one this season or whether we save for next season, I really don't know. I need to speak to the guys at Kielder, because it is really their call. But those who emailed in, we probably had, in fact, we had more entries for this particular competition than any other competition we've ever done, ever, bar none.
So with two?
I reckon we had about 50 emails.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, because most people don't normally get involved in this stuff, and I know what our listener figure, and we do have more than 50 listeners, Trev, despite what Ryan Champion was saying before. So for people to get in, and to be fair, we had 7 or 8 this afternoon when I put it out on social media saying, right, we're making the call today, it's going to be announced, the podcast. So there you go. All done anyway.
Okay.
All done.
So the big question everybody wants to know is, what about Mr. Bennion and Mr. Champion? What was their guesses like?
Ryan Champion got it in no word of a lie within when it first went out and the podcast was dropped. I reckon within 20 minutes of the podcast being available, I got a text message from with the right answer.
I hope you didn't tell him it was the right answer.
I did.
Ugh.
I know, I did. And you know what I didn't realise as well? We have group chats, and Jack Bennion was already in the group chat, so he knew the answer. So, but in fairness, he said he would never have got it in a million years.
Mm.
So there you go. Anyway, Trevor Agnew, we come to our any other business. Have you got a good any other business for this week?
Yeah, I've got an interesting one that just popped up today, actually, in Autosport, which was an article that David Evans did with Matt Wilson. So Matt Wilson, as a lot of our audience know now, is the manager of the M Sport Bentley race team. And they went on a road trip out to Spa and had a chat on the road trip. And it was just interesting to see some of the things that Matt had done over the years, which maybe some of our listeners aren't aware of, that he was a racing driver first and foremost. So he competed in the regional T-Series, I think it was, T-Car Championship in 2002. But he won like 17 races out of 22. But a year later, he was teammate to one Lewis Hamilton at Manor Motorsport in the Formula Renault Series in the UK. Did you know that?
I did know that, actually, because I know he started in T-Cars. Because Matt was a little bit of, because I can remember Matt starting, and it was all kind of quite low key, and because it was meant to be one of the focuses that was up on mileage and stuff like that, and he was just giving all that stuff. I can remember, you know what the jungle drums are like with regards to rallying and things like that, and I think he did Grisdale or something like that, but he pretty much went straight into a World Rally car. I don't think he competitively sat in anything other than a World Rally car. Obviously he's done events now in an R5 car, but I think for a large part of his career, if you look at statistics, he's probably one of the few drivers, certainly on these shores, that every event he did was in a World Rally car.
It was interesting, like, in that 2016 series, Malcolm had already done a deal for him to go back to Manor the following year, again, I think with Hamilton as a teammate, but he got a run in a World Rally car, and he thought, no, this is for me. And then he thought, well, I'm going to tell my dad that I want to go rallying, but he said his dad was very okay with it. So that's the reason he started rallying at the age of 17 in a World Rally car, or certainly a Group A car back then, whatever it was.
And that was a World car. It was a focus World car, and I remember it well.
But interesting thing about the article, she's just on reflection, would he have done it any differently? And of course, it made a lot of sense back then for them to run him in a World car. But his thinking was maybe that wasn't such a good idea for two reasons. One is, when you go to the World Championship, which effectively what he did some rallies in the British Championship, but you've no experience of winning. You've no experience for fighting for a win. And that side of things, he said, really didn't help in his career. The second part of it was, of course, going out in cars and getting a competitive car, a competitive team, and going out and ringing a snack and being the best. So one make championships, all the things we talk about. He says, yeah, definitely, that probably would have made him a better driver.
Wow, there you go. If only we would have had the king of the one make championships, Ryan Champion, still with us to kind of ratify that.
Yeah, I think he's available if you want to get him back in.
We'll get him next week.
He'd only gloat, wouldn't he?
I know. You know what he's like. He loves a one mate, doesn't he? He loves a one mate. Mm-hmm. My end of the business this week, of course, we dangled the carrot last week. It's common knowledge now. John Armstrong, of course, who joined us at the end of the podcast last week, is an esports world champion. So, quite rightly, I dangled the carrot that he would come back as a guest host. And next week, John Armstrong will be a guest host of Absolute Rally.
How fantastic is that? That's brilliant.
Yeah, so I've got no idea how it's going to work, but John Armstrong will be a guest host now. He wanted to be a guest host of the podcast. I love that. And I think what we should do, maybe we start setting the bar a little bit for we put it out there. If somebody wants to become a guest host who's been on before or whatever, then maybe we do that. Maybe we do that.
So are you going to get him to invite some guests as well, or a guest or two?
I think we should. I think we should.
Definitely. Yeah. If he's guest host, he can. It's his choice.
It's his train set, quite literally, yeah. So that's what he won. You know, he went there with the pressure of trying to win a championship and become a guest host of Absolute Rally, and he managed to succeed.
I wonder what she thinks is his biggest accomplishment out of the two.
Well, I think between you and me, it's the podcast.
Yeah, it's got to be like being world champion. It's cracked up to be being guest host of Absolute Rally. That's a totally different ballgame altogether.
You've done both, Trev.
Hold on a minute. I haven't guest host yet. That's a whole new level for me.
Yes, you have. What have you just been doing for the last hour?
No. But I John's going to run the show. You're going to be the guest.
Well, I'm not going to be the guest because nobody wants to hear from me. I pose the question. I don't answer them. So there you go. So that was my end of the business. John, well done. Great effort.
I second that. That was fantastic. Did you watch it at all? Did you manage to see it on WRC Plus? Exciting right to the end.
I watched it and... John is someone I've known for a really, really long time, and I really rate John. I'm not just saying this because he's been on the program; he's going to be on next week. And you know, I'd say this even if I didn't know him. He's one of those boys. One of those men, I should say. I shouldn't call him a boy.
He's 23 now, isn't he?
I know. Mm-hmm. But I remember him at 17. You know, I remember him at 17 doing his first stage rallies.
So do I.
I was doing rallies with him then, and he's such a nice guy as well. He's a genuine nice guy who's got so much talent, so much ability. You know, to do what he did in WRC2 on Germany last year, okay, you know, Ry mentioned it last week, you know, the overall finish doesn't really do justice to what he did in that car, it documented what tyres he was on and everything else, but he deserves more, and I hope it leads somewhere. You know, it's bizarre to think that here we are, you know, so many people were inspired to get into rallying back in the day when you think about the original PlayStation and McRae and stuff like that. How many people did that get people into it, and now all of a sudden there's a world championship for gamers, and I'm just pleased that he won it. And the reason why I'm pleased he won it, Trev, is because I think we're all a little bit precious, aren't we? You know, everybody that's done it, you would hate to think that, you know, one of our own, and then we class John as one of our own because he's competed and he's done it at a high level and everything else, would be beaten by somebody who's only ever sat in the bedroom. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but yeah, go on.
That's it. That's all I'm saying. Maybe slightly biased, but yeah, so pleased, and I hope it leads to some opportunities for him. I really do. Fingers crossed, we'll see John in an R5 car. Even John in an R2 car, by the way. If you can find the footage on Ulster from 2013, I think it was, where he went fastest overall.
Yeah.
On one of the stages against some big cars, if you can get the onboard of that, watch it. It is a wow onboard, a proper wow onboard. But there you go. Anyway, I am wittering on. Trev, that is the end of episode 6, season 13. We've announced our winners. We've done our any other businesses. We've done Gary Boyd's facts, and Ryan Champion's buggered off early. So it just about covers the podcast very, very nicely. So you'll be back with us in a few weeks before the end of the season, no doubt.
Yeah, love to, anytime.
All right, happy days. Folks, you know where we live, of course. It's absoluterally.co.uk, where all the episodes are. And you know, you can listen to the episodes there as well if you choose to. Somebody quite rightly points out you can get the podcast via iTunes. You can also get it via Podbean if you don't want to buy into that whole Apple thing as well. So search us out. You know where we are anyway. But thank you all so much for the downloads. Thank you all so much for entering the competition. It does mean a lot, and the guys at Kiel have loved it as well, and it's great to do stuff like that for you as well. But we will be back same time, same place in your little podcast hole next week.
Absolute Rally, powered by the Kiel the Works team. Spread the word and download the podcast every week.